3, 2, 1, we're live! Welcome, I'm Megan.
And I'm Danielle.
And this is Crime and Roses.
And we are a true crime and bachelor franchise recap podcast.
All right, hi. Oh, I'm like already ready to do the business.
That's what I hear! You. There wasn't even like, hi Danielle, I was like, all right, here we go.
I almost forgot to even greet you, I am sorry. Hello,
no,
Danielle.
It's fine, we've been talking for about an hour already, girl. We have, because I fucked up, and I thought it was not my turn to do the true crime, and we were so busy, I was like, there's no time to do a story, there's no nothing, I can't.
So it happens, life happens.
So shit
gets
here.
Busy. Yes, we're here.
My bad. We're here. Also, I did a crazy, well, I'm about to do a crazy, crazy, crazy Patreon.
I'm so excited.
That I, like, heard about, and it's kind of been in the back of my mind for a minute, so it was really nice to, like, get it all out and done. So, just keep tuned, because maybe, I mean, as an apology, as a thank you for staying with us, because we need to not apologize, but thank you for sticking with us.
Yes, thank you for your patience and this excitement of a journey. You're welcome.
Yes, thank you for that. We appreciate it. Maybe we can, like, I haven't told Megan this. She probably is looking at me. Maybe we can give a little more of a preview put it at, like, a lower level in our Patreon.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe give access to the story for, like, a week.
Okay.
For free.
Okay. All right, we will discuss that further and let you know. Thank you.
You can cut this out.
No, it's fine.
Anyways, but I just, yes, I'm excited for this Patreon that's coming up.
One thing I do need to announce, because it happened recently, and it's
Megan
for my true crime people. I did do that. That was not my announcement.
Sorry.
It's okay. I look cute as fuck, Danielle already said.
Yeah.
Mad things. Anyways, my announcement was Seduced Inside the NXIVM Cult on Stars. I was able to watch the first two episodes on my flight to Vegas recently. Excellent. Watch it if you can. I know that Stars is one of them premium channels. So
do that, like, when you have some time, do that, like, free week shit.
Yes.
And then
do
watch
it.
That.
Just, it's like, a total of it. It's a total of 4 episodes, so I was able to watch the first 2 on the flight, because that's what was available. But I am going to figure out a way to, or some time when I have the free week and I can do that to watch the second 2. It's really interesting.
I also want to say this too, because, like, I know we've gotten a lot of DMs about it. Yes, we are closely monitoring Ahmaud Arbery. And yes,
oh, definitely.
We saw the outcome of Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yep.
I can't talk about it. I can't. It's too much. It's too much to unpack. There's too much to discuss. But yes, we're watching it. Yes, we were shocked. I actually listened to my favorite.
I don't
favorite
know
podcasts.
That I would say that I was shocked by the Rittenhouse verdict.
No.
Saddened. Disgusted. Not shocked.
Not shocked, but just, like, disheartened. Just more of the same of, like, damn.
We're still doing this?
This really?
This has not been cute for 400 years, but we're still doing it? Okay, great.
Basically. But I did watch, or sorry, I did listen to The Daily. It's the New York Times. Mm, and they just do, like, an episode. It's really good. Like, it just really helps me keep up to date about what's going on. This morning, they did one about Kyle Rittenhouse, and they kind of, like, dug into some of the issues in the trial. And I was like,
You mean how he was able to choose by lottery system his jury?
They didn't even talk about that, but just more so, like, the witnesses, their testimony, how the defense was able to, like, thrive in certain situations, how things were favorable towards them. So, like, just kind of breaking it down, like, some of the nuances that we didn't get to hear, which really is what trials are about. So it was just interesting to know, because I did not watch it. It was too triggering to watch, but it was a nice summation of all of it.
And I have been watching most of the days of the Ahmaud Arbery trial, watching the state put up their case, watching defense try and defend this bullshit. And I was watching the closing arguments. I was telling Danielle I was watching those today. And it's just, it's disgusting. Literally, like, I really do believe that the state is putting up an excellent case. We've all seen the video. We all know the context of the video.
I mean, I told you, my son was not allowed to run in the neighborhood after that. Like, he is an avid runner. He's one of the fastest kid on his baseball team. Like, and he loves running, and specifically, like, you know, cross country kind of ish. And I told him, I was like, unless you're going out there with me or your dad, you cannot go run by yourself, because I just don't know if there's some, like, black kid running in the neighborhood, and then
who knows what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Right? It's really sad. It's really, really sad.
And the stunts, I'll call them stunts for sure, the defense are using are fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I heard some of those.
And I'm really concerned about what's gonna happen with the verdict either way.
Yeah.
I don't know what the future of that area of Georgia holds if they are found guilty or if they're acquitted. I don't know what's gonna happen.
This is another situation or a time period where it's really good to, like, reach out to your friends and be like, hey, there's a lot going on in the news. I just want to check. I just want to reach out. And just be like, you know, are you good?
How's Especially if you have friends in that area of Georgia, I would strongly encourage it.
But Georgia, Wisconsin. Well, there was, like, some parade. Somebody, like, rammed into, there's, like, 5 dead and, like, 12. It's just, it's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot. Check on your people. That's the message.
And don't reach out to the people that are toxic. This is not our, like, stand of, like, oh, reach out to them and see how they're doing.
No, sis.
He's an ex for a reason. But definitely, like, call your mom and, you know, talk to your friends and be like, what's up? I reached out to my cousin. Oh, shit. Announcement. My cousin Cedric is on a Netflix show. He's a pastry chef here in Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
He's on a show. I'm so sorry, I don't know the name.
Bitch, you know I love cooking shows.
Oh my gosh, hold on. We'll cut this part out, but hold on. My cousin is on the show, Netflix School of Chocolate.
I will be definitely watching it.
His name is Cedric. He's bald. He's a bald, like, bear. He's like, that's just how I...
Okay.
What just...
We're already 100% rooting for him, so...
Yes. So please watch it. Let me know what you think. If I can find, like, a, what are those things called? Like a trailer
preview?
Or something. Yeah, I'll try to throw it in the show notes or, like, you know, post it on social media. But that's my cousin. He is a pastry chef. I literally grew up with him. He's my closest relative. We lived together for a really long time. And he is super awesome. He moved to it. That's the cousin I told you who was like, oh, I have something to tell you. I was like, oh my God, what? Like, are you dying? Are you sick or something? He's like, I'm gay. I said, I've known you my whole life. So it's not a surprise. Thank you for telling me.
Thinking I'm a safe space.
I really appreciate that that you were like, oh, let me come out. And he was like nervous about it. I was like, oh, baby, I've known you my whole life.
You don't need to be nervous here.
I was like, there's no need. Like, I love you for who you are. He's such an amazing person. And he actually worked at, like, the Ritz in Atlanta. He's really good. He made my wedding cake. My wedding and everything, which actually was entirely a fake cake, except one portion of the cake was real in the back. So the whole cake was
fucking,
like,
cheater.
Fake. Yeah, it was all styrofoam except this one little portion where he made the most delicious, like, lemon cake. And then it had, like, a little border. So we cut into real cake and we pulled out real cake and was like, delicious. But the whole entire thing was fucking fake. And then I bought little petite fours, whatever you call them, from Publix, and that's what I served. I tell you, we did this shit on a budget, bitch. We did it on a budget. So yes, please watch School of Chocolate. My cousin is Cedric. He is on the show.
Okay, we are all rooting him on. When does it come out? Is it out now?
It came out November 26th, so it's out not yet, because it's not November 26th.
That is Friday. That is Black Friday.
Girl, do you know the number of times I've been like, oh yeah, December. Girl, I've skipped to January.
Honey, no. No. Okay. Megan. We don't skip the end of November. That's the rule in my life.
Megan, your birthday, Erica's birthday, Randy's birthday, my mother's birthday is all in 1 week.
Bitch, so you thought you could get out of saying happy birthday to all of us.
I can't keep up, child. I'm just tired.
It's called Google Calendar, bitch. It's called Google Calendar.
please tell me a true crime story.
All right, I'm just
stressed
then.
Again.
All right, I'm sorry.
With your birth, I'm stressed.
My mom was too.
Mm-hmm. She's been every damn day ever since. Stressing her.
Thank God she got a good one. Her. Listen, I apologize to my mother because she calls me regularly.
Does she listen to the true crime episodes or just The Bachelor?
She does listen to the true crime episodes. Mm. Occasionally.
My mom was like, oh, I listened to your most recent, Bachelor episode. And I was like, oh, shit. Damn, I forgot you, really listened.
It's like, what did I say?
So I'm going to talk shit about her the next episode for sure.
She still does not like that I cuss as much as I do. But, what the fuck are we going to do about that? So.
Shit. Just kidding. Just kidding, Mama Megs. I'm going to tell her to stop it.
She
right
wasn't
now.
Kidding, Ma. She wasn't kidding,
mm-mm,
Ma.
Mm-mm. I'm going to tell her to stop right now. Megan, you stop it.
Okay. Yeah. How's that going?
I don't give a shit.
I know you don't. It's okay. That's going to be okay. Anyway, let me tell you a story. So, last week, we saw a group date that was held at the U.S. Bank Stadium in what city?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And that stadium is home to the Minnesota Vikings, right?
Yes, they are. I wore my Vikings gear this weekend to baseball.
How'd that go?
It went great. Little white men Viking all over my little socks.
Oh, that's cute. So, on this group date, the men had to dress up as Vikings and do Viking shit, I guess. It was like a competition of who was the ultimate Viking. And for some reason, our next bachelor won, even though he didn't really do shit. So, today's theme, if you couldn't tell, is Vikings.
Are you going to tell me a Vikings true crime story?
Hang on. Today's story is a mystery of a maybe cursed ship and two separate and distinct true crime incidents.
I'm intrigued. Tell me everything.
Not as old as you think it is.
Now I'm scared. Don't tell me everything.
So there's layers to this. So just buckle the fuck up.
Okay.
So this is the story of the cursed Viking Sally. All right. So who are Vikings? Vikings are seafaring people from Scandinavia, so it's Denmark, Sweden, and Norway. They were
whitey, white.
Real white, whiter than Megan, white. And they were around from the 8th to the late 11th century. They raided and traded and settled throughout, especially that area of Europe, but then the rest of Europe as well. They went to the Mediterranean, North Africa, Middle East, North America. America was discovered by Leif Erikson, not Christopher Columbus. So,
really wasn't discovered because you can't discover something that was already there. Indigenous people.
Also, there's that. But, really fuck Christopher Columbus. Anyways, so in some countries that they raided and then settled, this period is known as the Viking Age. And actually, Wikipedia says that they don't really use the horned helmets that we associate Vikings
really?
With. Really? Right. And Vikingpedia, says that they were probably not as savage and murderous as they're often thought of as, but they're also raiding and settling these lands that I'm presuming have people in them. So, and it's Wikipedia, so check your sources kind of
there's
thing.
Some Viking editing and definitely like, not
definitely
actually
it's Leif Erikson's great 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 grandson
exactly
who's typing. There are two cruise companies that currently use Viking in their name, or at least two cruise companies, Viking Line and then Viking Cruises, which now just goes by Viking. We're talking about a ship from the Viking Line company, which is really more of a ferry than a cruise liner. And both of these companies, Viking Line and Viking Cruises, operate cruises in the Baltic Sea, which is in that Scandinavian area. It's in arm of the Atlantic Ocean, and it's enclosed by Denmark, Estonia, Finland, Germany, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Russian, Sweden, and the North and Central European Plain.
Okay.
So that's the area that we're in for today. And the Viking Sally is, again, that's owned by the Viking line. And that's really a ferry. And it was built, the Viking Sally was built in 1979. It was put into service in July 1980. And its route would go between Turku, Finland, Mariehamn, and Stockholm, Sweden.
Okay.
Crossing the Baltic Sea. So Turku, like I said, that's in Finland. Mariehamn, I don't know how to say it, is in the Åland Islands, which is between Finland and Sweden. It's technically a region in Finland, but the official language is Swedish. So it's like a marriage between the two countries.
Okay.
And then Stockholm is in Sweden. Google Maps says the distance between Turku, Finland, and Stockholm, Sweden is about 200 miles. And it would take about 9 hours and 20 minutes to travel by ferry between the two.
So you just kind of go out there for the day and turn back, I guess?
Or, like, if you have business, if you live in Turku, but you have business in Stockholm for...
It's just like a quick ferry.
You would go, you would take the overnight ferry, do your business, maybe, and come back the next night, kind of a thing.
Oh, that reminds me, I'm watching Maid on Netflix.
Why does that remind you? I'm scared to ask.
Because she took a ferry? Didn't you tell me to watch Maid?
No.
Who told me to watch it? Was it Kelsey?
Might have been, because it wasn't me.
You didn't watch Maid?
Nope, don't know what that is.
Yes, you do.
You're do you mean Maid in Manhattan?
No, Maid, like the woman with the domestic violence situation. And
that
the
wasn't
small...
me.
Yeah, I'm losing it. Okay, well, none of that means. Go continue.
So, in 1986, there's an incident aboard the Viking Sally.
There's also an incident in 1986. This bitch's birth. Just want to put that out there.
This one's probably a little bit more violent.
My birth was also probably violent to my mother.
Somebody got murdered in this one.
Not that violent.
Cool. Okay. So, in 1986, there's an incident on the Viking Sally that ends in the murder of Auntie Elijah. That's how I'm going to say it. I'm going to call him Auntie for the rest of this. A-N-T-T-I is his first name. So I can barely find any photos about this man, and there's no confirmable photos that I can find of him. But I do know that he was 44 years old when he was murdered, and he was a businessman. So he was riding from Finland to Sweden on the Viking Sally on July 10th, 1986. And then there's two other men. One of them is Rioja Hammer, and he was 33 years old. And then an unnamed man. But these two come into Auntie's cabin. And Rioja Hammer, I'm going to call him Hammer, he steals some cash from Auntie's wallet. I'm not sure if Auntie was like sleeping or how Hammer was really able to steal this cash. But Auntie finds out about this and he wants to report it to the police. And there are police on board the ship. And in trying to get out of the cabin, he winds up in a confrontation with Hammer. So he's trying to leave the cabin, and then Hammer stabs him 5 times in the throat.
Oh, my God.
With a dinner knife.
Ow.
I honestly don't know if the sources mean a steak knife or if they mean, like, a butter knife that you might have at your plate.
I thought, like, a butter knife.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, because I feel like they would have said steak knife, not
or
dinner knife.
Yeah, or something else. And then, not that stabbing him in the throat 5 times wasn't enough, but Hammer then tears off a piece of fabric from the cabin's, like, bed and its sheets, and he strangles Auntie to death.
Oh, man, this Hammer dude is, like, fucking terrible.
Oh, honey, just wait. So, Hammer is arrested pretty immediately, for good reason. And I don't have a date of when the trial actually started, but it seems like from the rest of the information, it seems like it's late 1986 or early 1987.
Mm-hmm.
At the trial, Hammer is found guilty. He is sentenced to life and he is held in custody at the Turku Central Prison in Finland. But then in July 1988, He's been in custody for about 2 years. Hammer escapes.
Girl, I was going to be like, this is the quickest episode we have ever done. The end. Okay.
The end. Have a good night. No. Hammer escapes with two other inmates. He shoots a prison guard with a sawed-off shotgun in the arm. And then those three escapees, they go on like a crime spree and they rob a shit ton of banks. But they don't seem to get along very well, these three escapees, right? Because they do this for a couple of weeks. They're robbing the banks. They're living their best crime life, I guess. And then Hammer kills one of the other escapees by hitting him in the head with an axe.
Oh, man. He's real savage. Like, that sounds very painful.
So, Hammer now has multiple murders on his rap sheet. He has a bunch of bank robberies that they were able to get him for. And a bunch of other shit that I don't really know about. So, Finland refers to him as their most dangerous criminal.
Okay.
And then, for some reason, in 2004...
Oh, no. That's too close.
Oh, it's going to get closer. Don't worry about this one. The president of Finland pardons Hammer.
Why, sir? Or ma'am? Why?
At this point, Hammer is 51 years old. And then when he's released, he starts using a different first name. It's Andres. So he's going by Andres Hammer. And then, in 2011, so 7 years after he is pardoned, he's arrested for attempted murder.
Why because did they pardon him?
I don't fucking understand. Part of the reason I don't understand, I will say, is because the sources are in Finnish. And I don't speak Finnish, and I don't read Finnish well, so I'm relying on Google Translate here. But from what I understand, he stabs another man in the back. This other man does survive, thank goodness.
Thank God.
Hammer tells the court that he does not remember actually stabbing the man, and that at the time that this incident happened, he fell, and then the knife fell at the same time.
Into the man's back. Okay.
So deeply that the man has, like, wounds on his lungs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They both say that they were not in an argument at the time.
But it just randomly fell. Did this shit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
He was sentenced for this attempted murder. He was sentenced to 4 years. Remember, Finland has very different ideas of justice and rehabilitative justice, restorative justice, things like that. So he was sentenced to 4 years. He had to pay the victim about 6,700 euros in 2011 dollars. That's about $7,500, which is about $9,200 in 2021.
Sir, you stabbed me and, like, hurt my lung.
Mm-hmm.
$7,000 ain't gonna get it.
Well, also remember that Finland actually has healthcare.
Thank you for the $7,000. I appreciate it.
So, there is also that.
Also, don't look at your pay stub and realize how much money you've spent on healthcare.
Don't do that.
I looked at it, was like, holy shit. Much I pay?
That's how much you pay.
And this is how little y'all come.
Mm-hmm. This is how little service you get. Mm-hmm. But then.
Copay. You owe me. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so that's the 1986 incident, right?
Okay.
But then, in 1987, there's a whole new motherfucking incident. And that's the murder of Klaus Schekel and the attempted murder of Bettina Taxis.
So this is discovered after he has been released and then attempted to murder this
no.
other guy?
So the first murder happened in 1986. This one just happened in 1987. I was just telling that whole story.
Jeez
Louise. Right. So, Klaus and Bettina, I do have a little bit more background on them. At the time that they're murdered, Klaus is 20, and Bettina does survive, but she is 22 years old when this happens. And they met earlier in 1987. They started dating. And they're actually both from West Germany. And they were on this longer backpacking trip. And they were with a friend. His name was Thomas Schmid. And Thomas and Klaus knew each other for years and years. They kind of grew up together, it looks like. They played soccer together. They went to school together. And the backpacking trip, they were going to go from West Germany. And then they were going to go up to Stockholm. And they were going to go up to, like, really northern Finland. Mm-hmm. And then even more north up to Norway. It looks like what they were doing was going to see the northern lights.
Okay.
Because, like, both Lapland, Finland, and then this even more north area are, like, prime locations for that.
Mm.
So, the three of them board the ship for an overnight trip on July 27th, 1987. They board in Stockholm, and they're going towards Finland. So, west to east. And from what I understand, the Viking Sally has cabins that you can rent and, like, sleep in, like Auntie did. He had a cabin with a bed. Or you can forego paying for a cabin and you can sleep in, like, a more public area.
Okay.
For, I guess, just the price of the ticket. So the three of them, they decide, we're on this whole adventure. We're not going to pay for the cabin. They're trying to ball on a budget. I can totally respect it. So they're going to sleep in a more public area. And Thomas, like I would do, sleeps in a more enclosed area because it's cold as fuck at night.
Mm-hmm.
But the couple, so Bettina and Klaus, they want to sleep on a deck that can where they can see the sunrise. Because that's cute, that's romantic, whatever. So Klaus and Bettina, they settle in an open air space on the ninth deck. And they settle in for the night around 1 a.m. with their sleeping bags. And they basically have this whole deck area to themselves because it's cold as fuck and other people want to be indoors.
Right.
And Thomas is on, like, the deck beneath them. And then around 3:45 on a.m. on July 28th, just a couple hours after they, like, finally settled in for the night, went to sleep, a Boy Scout group on the ship finds them. So the Boy Scout group was headed to a Boy Scout event in Finland. So this Boy Scout group was bigger, but the people that found them, it was a group of four. Three of them were Swedish boys around 11 and 12 years old.
Mm.
And then one of them was a Danish scout who was about 18 years old. I don't know what these kids are doing awake at 3:45 in the morning, but they are. And they find these two people, it's Klaus and Bettina, and they think that these two people are really, really drunk because they are, like, struggling to stand up inside their sleeping bags, and they're just having a really difficult time. Hmm. So the kids, like, go over to them, try and help them, like, stand up, and they're like, we're Boy Scouts, like, this is what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, once they get closer, they realize, no, these two people have massive fucking head injuries and are surrounded by a pool of blood.
Oh my gosh.
So, as soon as the kids realize that this is not a drunk people situation, but an emergency situation, one of them runs and gets help. The others are trying to do something. One of them goes to the nurse's station, and then the captain is informed of the incident at 4:28 a.m.
It's like an hour later almost?
About 45 minutes, yeah.
Don't make me do math, Megan. Come on.
It's okay. I got you. And the captain says that he was one of the first responders to the scene on the deck besides the Boy Scouts. So the two are airlifted off of the ship to a hospital in Finland. And they reach the hospital at about 5:50 a.m. And unfortunately, Klaus dies en route to the hospital. Bettina does make it to the hospital, but she is unconscious for weeks.
Wow.
And then when she does eventually wake up, she has no memory of the attack, and she has severe and permanent brain damage. Mm. But she does survive.
I'm glad the boys randomly found her. I don't know what, like, fuckery they were about to get into, but thank God.
the police get out to the ship, and then they board the ship about 6:30 in the morning. So about 3-ish hours after all this happens.
Yeah.
They pretty immediately start interviewing passengers. There's about 1,000 people on the ship at this point. And then the ship docks and comes to its final destination in Finland at about 8:10 a.m. So the police have all of the passengers who are leaving use one single exit so they can watch everyone. They can see if anyone throws anything off of the ship. And they can see if anyone's acting suspicious. And if anyone acts suspicious, they're going to stop them and then interrogate them. They also check all of the IDs of all of the passengers that are leaving the ship, except for the elderly, children, or families with children. And then later...
I feel like that's a bad decision. Like, I just don't know why, but it just makes me feel like that's not going to work out for them. Mm-hmm. That specific, mm-hmm. like, oh, mm-hmm. no, not the elderly and the... Nah.
Hold on to that.
Okay.
Okay. So from the medical exams and the later autopsy, they're assuming that the murder weapon is called a slag hammer. And if you Google pictures of it, it's scary. But it's typically used for welding, and there was one on the ship that was used for maintenance. And it looks kind of like a pointier version of a hammer that's like in a regular toolbox. There's a really, really pointy end that kind of looks like an axe on one end, and then the other end kind of looks like a chisel.
Okay.
They never find this on board, and they think it was thrown overboard after the attack. So, the cops take about 20 of the passengers who were leaving the ship into the station. One was a younger British guy who had bloodstains on some of his clothing. They did determine that that was from a nosebleed that he had, so it was his own blood on his shirt. They also take Thomas, their friend and travel companion, to the station, but he is later cleared. And then months later, in August 1987, a fisherman who's regularly in the area finds a plastic bag full of clothes on this, like, rocky kind of an island thing.
Okay.
And it's just like an outgrowth, really. There's no one living on the island. It's uninhabited, but it's really close to the shipping lanes that the Viking Sally would have used to go back and forth that night.
Okay.
And then, I don't know why, but for some reason, the fisherman leaves the plastic bag on this rocky island thing, but then returns a year later.
Wait, huh?
And that's when he turns it to the cops? I don't okay. understand why. But inside this plastic bag, there is a set of gloves, and the gloves are monogrammed HK. But then they think that the clothes came from the Viking Sally, but there's not enough to, like, definitively tie it to the Viking Sally or from a passenger on the ship.
I mean, in my mind, I'm like, okay, this must have been really high profile. So, like, why did it take a year? And in that event, I still think you just grab it and say, like, okay, let me just, like, put it in my garage. And if someone comes out, we've heard about that. It's like, oh, yeah, I just grabbed it. It was strange, but here it is. But
strange. It's weird. So the cops are working the case. And over 4 years, they interview about 1,000 people. They send about 250 forensic samples for testing. They follow leads in 9 countries. And they actually get 3 different confessions.
Okay, good.
All right. All of which they figure out are false. Fast forward to 2019.
Holy what is this story, Megan? Where the fuck did you find this? And how did you connect it with Vikings from The Bachelorette in Minnesota? This podcast is great.
So 32 years after the murder of Klaus and Bettina,
okay,
the police announce that they have a suspect. They don't announce anything about this person. They don't announce an age, a gender, a nationality, no shits, right?
Okay.
But they do say that they think that this person acted alone and that this person did not know either Klaus or Bettina. So, in 2020, the police announced that they have
I'm looking at the corner of my screen like, girl, it is 2021. Holy shit.
In 2020, the police announced they have solved the case and they have sent it to the prosecutors. And apparently there's some Finnish privacy laws, so they only refer to this suspect as Herman H. So they do say that in 2020, Herman H. was 52 years old, meaning that he was 18 years old at the time of the murder. Mm-hmm. And he is a Danish citizen. Okay. Remember that group of Boy Scouts?
No! Girl, fuck no. The guy, the Danish guy?
The Danish 18-year-old scout. So, apparently...
Hold on. I am shook right now. Wait a minute. So, the theory is that this man went and murdered these random people, then brought the kids to, like, discover them, and then was just hoping that they may be dead? Because you just did it. You didn't think they would remember? Yo, that is, like, some motherfucking movie shit. That, I am shooketh. Tell me more.
Okay. Because apparently in 2016, he texts his ex-wife admitting to the murder. And apparently his ex-wife like immediately hands this over to the cops. And that's when they started investigating him. So his trial starts May 24th, 2021.
Again, I'm looking at my calendar. Wait, what does this have to do with Hammer? Were these just two separate?
They're two separate cases.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
completely separate. It's okay. Mm-hmm.
This man, literally stabs them or bludgeons them, and then brings the children to discover them, throws the thing off of the water, maybe some clothes or whatever,
and then just
walks off the boat with the kids. So he probably wasn't questioned because he had children with him.
Oh, he was questioned the night of the incident. And then he was also questioned again in 2016 after the text messages to his wife. Or and ex-wife.
And nothing?
So he was charged with murder, an attempted murder. And the judge, during the trial, ruled that his 2016 interviews with police after the text with his ex-wife, he says that they are not admissible because he did not have counsel present during the interview. It's
a little different than here, but okay.
Mm-hmm. And at the trial, his ex-wife also refused to take the stand about the text messages. So, because she refused to testify, defense argued that they were just scare tactics to his ex-wife and they were not actually truthful. So, case went to the jury on June 4th, 2021. They deliberated for 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
What do you think happened?
I'm going to say they said not guilty.
You are correct. He was acquitted of all charges on June 30th, 2021.
Yo, why have I never heard of this? This is insane.
So, if he had been convicted, it would have been the longest crime to conviction. So, from 1987 to 2021, crime to conviction in Finnish history.
Do we know, like, what he did after this? What did he do?
From June to now, I do not know. But I do know that because he was acquitted, this is one of the longest lasting unsolved crimes in Finnish history.
But, like, what was he do? A model citizen? Like, you just don't.
I don't know. Because of their privacy laws, like, I don't know that we will know that unless we were in the courtroom.
See, I feel like you need to know that shit.
I feel like I do, too.
Yeah.
But I'm not done yet.
Randomly. Oh, okay, okay. Continue. I'm speechless. Go ahead.
So, now we're going to flash back to 1993.
Okay.
So, the Viking Line, the company, sold the Viking Sally, the ship, to a different company called Nordstrom and Thulin, not the clothing store. And this new company changed the name of the Viking Sally to call it the MS Estonia.
Okay.
So, 8 years after Auntie's murder and 7 years after Klaus and Bettina's murder, this ship is now on a new route. It's going to be going from Tallinn, Estonia, across the Baltic Sea to Stockholm. It's about 260 miles, and Google Maps says a 13.5-hour trip with the ferry.
Okay.
So, on September 27th, 1994, there's a total of 989 people on board. There's 803 passengers and 186 members of crew. These people, passengers and crew, are from 17 different countries. Most of them are from Sweden or Estonia. There is also people on board from Latvia, Russia, Finland, Norway, Germany, Denmark, Lithuania, Morocco, Netherlands, Ukraine, UK, Belarus, Canada, France, and Nigeria. And then when this ship takes off, it is fully loaded with passengers and cargo, and the sources say that it was listing starboard, which means that it was leaning to the right into the water, about 15 degrees when it takes off. It takes off a little bit later than scheduled. It takes off at 7:15 p.m. It's supposed to arrive in Stockholm at around 9 a.m. the next morning. Conditions that night are not ideal. Wind is high. It's in the 34 to 45 mile an hour range with gusts from 50 to 62 miles an hour. And then waves are 13 to 20 feet. And Wikipedia calls this a significant wave height. The highest recorded in the Baltic Sea is 25 feet.
25-foot wave?
Mm-hmm.
My God, the sea is scary.
Mm-hmm. It's also raining, and the temperature is about 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm.
Around 1 a.m., so the ship's been sailing for about 5 hours now-ish, 6 hours, there's a loud metallic bang that's heard by multiple people. And it's thought to be from, like, a really big-ass wave hitting the ship. So the crew goes to check the area, and they find no issues. In the next 10 minutes, there's multiple similar sounds heard by passengers and crew throughout the ship. Around 1:15, it's believed that part of the ship is torn open in the loading ramp area. And it starts leaning even harder to starboard, to the right. And by 1:30 a.m., the ship was leaning starboard about 60 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
And at 1:50 a.m., the lean was 90 degrees.
Oh, okay.
So it's halfway in the water at this point.
Right.
And it's taking on, understandably, a shit ton of water. So the crew is trying to correct the list, or the lean, to the port side, so left, and they shut down the engines. At 1:20 a.m., a woman's voice comes over the loudspeaker, and she says quietly, "Alarm, alarm, there is an alarm on the ship."
I'd like it to be a little more alarming.
It's kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately after she ends the alarm, a crew alarm goes off. And then as soon as the crew alarm goes off, a general alarm goes off for everyone on board. Most of the people, or many of the people sleeping in the cabins on the ship, are not able to get to the upper decks.
Mm.
And then a mayday signal is sent out at 1:22 a.m., but they did not use the, I don't know why, but they did not use the international mayday signals, which caused a lot of confusion, a lot of delay from the other ships in the area. They don't know. They know that something is going on with the ship, but they don't know how serious of an emergency it is.
Okay.
And then once they made contact with one ship, they still weren't able to give their actual location because they had a loss of power on board. But a couple minutes later, they were able to get this location and they were able to make this contact. And it's thought that a crew member was able to get to the marine GPS device, which can translate a transmit a location even without the onboard power. So this marine GPS device is on the starboard side of where the captain is. But it probably would have been under a lot of water at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is that the crew member who was able to get to the device probably did not survive. And they probably drowned. So the first ship who was able to assist in the rescue arrives at 2:12 a.m. And the first alarm about this really happened at like 1:15. Only 13 passengers were able to get on the first ship.
Holy shit. You said there was 989 people.
Almost 1,000 people on this ship. By the time the rescue helicopters arrive, about a third of those who had escaped from the ship have already died from hypothermia.
My gosh.
So in the rescue efforts, the ships are able to rescue 34 people. Helicopters are able to rescue 104. That's a total of 138 people.
That's it?
Who were rescued from this ship. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then one of those 138 people actually died in the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
So there's 989 people on this ship. 852 died. 137 survived. At least one person on the ship from each of those 17 countries that I listed died. Survivors were from 12 different countries. Within 33 days, there were 93 bodies recovered from the ship. The last body recovered was found 18 months later. So there's still a shit ton of bodies that have not been recovered. So this sinking becomes one of the worst maritime disasters of the 20th century. It is one of the deadliest peacetime sinkings of a European ship after the Titanic in 1912, which had 2,224 people on board. More than 1,500 people died. And the RMS Empress of Ireland, which sank in 1914, it had 1,477 people on board and 1,012 people died on that sinking. And it's one of the deadliest peacetime shipwrecks to have occurred in European waters because it killed 852 people.
Oh my gosh. And this is the same Viking Sally.
Yeah, this is the same Viking Sally of the 1986 incident, the same thing of the 1987 incident. So the question really is this ship cursed?
Fuck yeah. And now it's at the bottom of the sea?
Yeah.
With like 600 people down there? Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Have divers like gone to like look?
That I don't know the answer to. But it's not the, it's not the only ship in history with a curse. There's a lot of cursed ships out there in our history. The most famous being one I just mentioned, Titanic. Certainly also one with a lot of conspiracy theories behind it as well. If you want to hear more about the conspiracy theories and the history of the Titanic, I would send you to our sweet, sweet friends, Drinking the Kool-Aid Pod.
Do they cover it?
They do cover it. I'm going to link it in the show notes.
When did they cover it? I must have missed
episode 14. It's an older episode. Oldie but goodie. Look at that. Look at how that happened.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So I know our girl Anish just went on a cruise. I think I'm good.
I was thinking about her the entire time I was typing up these notes, and I was like, oh, sis, you got off the boat in like good time.
Yeah, like I really actually was like planning a cruise for me and my husband's
anniversary. I really want to go on a cruise, but then I reach it like this and I'm like, maybe I don't.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna stay on land. That
sounds like the place terrifying. For me.
Yeah. That sounds like a terrible, terrible way to die. Like drowning.
Yeah.
And then surviving and then freezing to death.
Yeah.
Just like the Titanic.
Just like Jack.
Oy, Megan.
Oh, I know. I told you to buckle the fuck up.
A 1, 2, 3 punch.
As soon as I found this story, I was like, yes, we're doing this. I literally Googled Viking true crime. And then the 1987 case popped up and it said there was a murder the year before, and I was like, bet. There's this ship also sank too. Okay, yes, for sure. Let me tell this story.
I wouldn't go on any ship that even goes in that little direction.
No, ma'am.
There's 600. What is there? 800 people.
Apparently, there is also there's the Bermuda Triangle around Bermuda. So there's also a similar one in Lake Michigan. So maybe someone will cover that story someday soon.
Yeah, this is like Cassidy and Amanda's thing. I have chills and I'm scared. I would like to just stick to true crime. But I mean, that is crime. I mean, it's crime as well. But okay, so did they figure out like what was wrong with the ship? Was it the waves? What was it?
Not that I know of. The way that they say it is that when it took off, it was just the weight was not distributed properly. And I think that that's really what it was, is they put the cargo more so on the starboard side instead of spreading it out more throughout. And it just listed, and then it just, because of the weather, just took on and took on and took on and just kept sinking.
Oh my God, girl. You didn't. Yeah. I mean, jeez Louise.
I have taken you like all over the place in this one episode.
I mean, first you tell me about this guy who just can't seem to get fucking locked up. Then a damn exonerated story. Well, not exonerated, but somebody found not guilty in something that he did. And then, like, buried the lead on who the murderer was. And then a whole slew of people, died. All right, yeah. Thank you for listening, y'all. I gotta go.
Oh, wait, I gotta do my sources. Okay, Wikipedia, as always and always. BBC with no byline. A Medium article by Chloe Wells. Another article by Medium from Nicole Henley. TrueCrimeEdition.com with no byline. And then ILTA Senomat. It's a Finnish website. Again, thank you, Google Translate. And a different one that's called ILTA Leti. It's another Finnish website. So again, thank you, Google Translate. And Google Maps, you guys have been of great service to me in this episode.
Thanks, guys, for listening. See you next time.
Bye, guys. Make sure you check out Danielle's Patreon soon.
Shit, maybe not. I just am like, feel like I got slapped three ways to Sunday.
You did a little bit.
Damn, I have so much to Google. I have so many things to go Google. I need to know everything. More so than what you told me. Especially this damn Boy Scout. Like, I need to re-listen to this episode myself to be like, wait a minute. Wait, what did I miss?
What the fuck happened?
All right, y'all. Thank you, Megan.
Bye, guys. We love yous.
Bye.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Crime and Roses. Thanks for tuning in. Big shout out and thank you to our producer, audio engineer, tech support guru, and Danielle's bestie, David Velik. You can find him on Instagram at David Velik. That's DavidVelik. And at keylightmedia.com, KeylightMedia.com.
And you can also connect with us via social media. We're on Twitter at Crime and Roses, at CrimeAndRoses. We do live tweet during the Bachelor franchise shows. And if you use the hashtag Crime and Roses, we'll pick the tweet of the week and mention you on the show. You can also follow us on Instagram at Crime and Roses and send us your favorite memes and we'll repost them. Like, follow, and join the discussion on Facebook. And lastly, you can email us at crimeandroses@gmail.com. Send us your crime suggestions, also any questions and comments you may have. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on using your favorite podcatcher.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.